The more I think about every lesson we teach, and I'm a very bottom line kind of person, what does it really boil down to? Absolutely everything boils down to 1 Corinthians 13:13, which is those things that remain are faith, hope, and love. And the most important of these is love. Another verse that boils it down for me is Galatians 5:6. The only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. That's the bottom of everything. It's the core of the Old Testament laws, the Ten Commandments. It's the core of Jesus' two commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and will, and love your neighbor as yourself. Everything boils down to faith. And you would think, well, what does this have to do with today's lesson on integrity? During lunch, we're going to read the story of Joseph, and we're going to talk about integrity and the specifics about that lesson. But overall, God was pointing out to me salvation, which was last week's lesson, means making you whole. Salvation is meant to make you whole. That's what it is, sozo, to make whole. We're broken people. We're broken in pieces. And integrity also means to be whole. In the Old Testament, it means to be complete. Now, we think of integrity being adhering to a set of rules or doing the same thing all the time. But the real truth is that salvation, being complete, being holy, means one thing. It means being W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, his, completely his. Our problems come when we are fractured and we are part us and part him. And so I ask God, why are we part us and part God? Why do we not act the same way in all places, at all times, with all people? We want to, we should, but the problem is, it's a lack of faith, which causes a lack of hope, and causes a lack of love. And that's just what I want to share in the next couple of minutes, okay? Now, if integrity means being wholly his, what is it that causes us to not act as if we are wholly his? Now, what I want to bring up is this. Let's say you are a child and your parent is very well off and has access to absolutely anything. And if you truly need it, you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are going to get it. Your parent doesn't necessarily let you have everything you want whenever you want it, but if you really need it, they will provide it. And you know this without a shadow of a doubt. Then, most likely, aren't you going to act as if you know if you need something, it's going to be provided to you by your father? Right? There's no need for you to go around him to get it. If you really believe, he will provide it to you when you need it, right? If it's that important, he will provide it. Now, all of us have been children of our parents. How many of us, when our parent has said no or not yet, we decided, I'll just go around you and get it myself? Why? Because we don't believe at that moment in our teenage or childish mind, we don't believe that that parent really loves us or knows how badly we want it or knows how badly we need it, or we're simply impatient. We just want it, right? So we will stop acting as if we trust that parent because at that moment we don't. We don't believe either that parent is good or that they're going, they know what we really need, and we don't trust them, and we go around and get it our own way. Correct? Isn't that the definition of teenage? But it's also the definition of us. Yeah, it's a definition of us as we are. So this is what I'm trying to point out. If we truly and honestly believed that God, A, we believe that he exists, and B, that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If we believe that he's good, truly, that he will provide all of our needs according to his riches and glory, then why would we go around him to get things that he has not yet provided? We stop being wholly his. We lose our integrity when we want something and God is not providing it when we want it, how we want it. Is that agreed? Mm-hmm. So really, the source of our lack of integrity, think of a drug addict who really, really wants another fix. Normally, this is a good boy or a good girl. But the urge hits, the habit, the addiction kicks in, and that good boy or girl will take money out of your purse or break into somebody's house and steal something in order to get the fix. Why? Because their need to get supersedes everything else. Their need to get what they think they need supersedes everything they know, everything they've been taught, and even their conscience, what's inside their heart. Are we together on this? Am I making this clear? Therefore, integrity is really based on a lack of faith, or a lack of integrity is based on a lack of faith in God. Now, this is nothing new to those of us who've been going through the classes, but I want you to see how it's so related. Now, when you have faith and you know everything's taken care of, you can act the same way every day and not try and go around God because you trust that he'll take care of it. Correct? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Once you have faith, you can then have hope. When a person is feeling hopeless about any situation, it means that they have lost their faith in God to take care of it. There are no hopeless situations, Claire Booth Luce said, only people who have given up hope. Because with God, oh, it's in my kitchen, not in here. With God, with man, it might be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Absolutely everything is possible. And in our everyday life, we get on automatic pilot and just do what we're used to doing, which is getting for ourselves. That's what our whole lives are based around in the natural, getting for ourselves, getting money, getting relationships, getting love, getting stuff, getting food or sex or whatever it is that makes us feel better. It's all about getting for us. Only problem is that God, his entire world is based on love, which is sacrificial giving of yourself for the benefit of another. When you go to a banquet hall and it's free, and you can eat absolutely everything you want till you're full, when you leave there, do you feel the need to go get something else to eat? No. You are full. You are satisfied. You have had what you need. But if you're starving and there's a banquet table and there are people in front of you, chances are you're going to push them out of the way to get some food. Right? That overriding need for us to get what we need is what causes us to go around God. We act out of fear, which is the opposite of faith. We're afraid we will not get what we need or want, and so we go around him. Okay? So that's how faith affects our integrity. Now, what does hopelessness do to a person? hopelessness, faith allows us to say, I have what I need, what I don't have now, God's going to provide when I need it. I'm just going to move forward. Hopeless, and hope is the eager expectation of something good. So first we believe God can. Hope says God will, and I'm looking forward to it. What happens when you become hopeless? You stop looking forward. You just stay. Sometimes you stay looking backwards. But God can't use you when you lose hope, and you lose hope because you've lost faith. Faith is the substance, the sub-flooring that hope is built upon. You can't hope for something if you don't first believe that it exists and that it can come. Right? So we also lose our integrity when we lose our hope, not just because of our faithlessness, but we refuse to take the risks that God calls us to do. We won't trust him. We won't move forward. And we spend our entire time looking backwards at our failures, at our flaws, and how we believe God has failed us. And we fill ourselves with negative things, not believing that we give in to the one ploy of Satan. What's the one thing Satan wanted Adam and Eve to think in the garden? That God is not good. He really doesn't love you. He really doesn't care about you. Really, he doesn't want you. The whole thing is he just wants to stop you from being like him. And the moment they stopped believing God was good, they stopped trusting him. There was a lack of faith. So our integrity is always built not only on faith, but also our hope that God is going to do good things in the future. Last of all is love. Now, there is no way you can love others. No way you can love others unless you have faith in God. And this is why, if you're starving, you're going to push people out of the way for that banquet table. If you're full, you're not. If you don't know where your next meal is coming from and you are afraid, you're going to stuff food in your pockets, down your shirt, in your shoes. You're going to hoard and you're going to hope that that's going to last you until the next minute that you have to figure out how to take care of yourself. People without faith are always worrying about how they're going to fix the situation, how they're going to manipulate it. The overwhelming stress of the feeling of responsibility, that fear that things are going to spiral out of control and I will not be able to find a way to fix this, causes us to do the stupidest things on earth. Right?
Yes.
Always a lack of faith. If you feel the responsibility to fix your situation, to provide for your family, to provide and fix a particular problem, it's a lack of faith. Now, I'm not saying there's condemnation there. The one thing I'll say over and over again is what the centurion said. Yes, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. It's a constant struggle. But love, the definition of love is agape, which means charity. And what's charity? When we give to charity, what do? We give of ourselves. We give money to somebody else without any thought of getting something back from it. We give to someone else who needs it, right? But if we're afraid that we will lose, or that we will not be able to get what we need, do we give or do we hoard? We hold on to stuff, don't we? Because we're afraid, if I give this up tomorrow, I may have nothing. So if we don't have faith, and if we're not moving forward, there's absolutely no way that we can love. And God calls us to be wholly his, and they will know that we are his disciples if we have love one for another. Love our neighbor as ourselves. Faith expressing itself through love is the only thing that matters. So if we're stingy with our love, if we did pick and choose who we're going to love, if we love people sometimes in some situations and not in another, it means that we have a lack of faith. Does that make sense? To be a person of integrity means we trust God so completely that nothing that happens to us, nothing that intervenes or injects itself into our life, can distract us from loving Him and loving others as He loves us and as Jesus loved others. We can tell whether or not we are a person of integrity by how well we react to other people who are ugly to us, who do not agree with us, who are not nice people. That's our litmus test for whether or not we're a person of integrity. Another litmus test of integrity: if I don't get what I want, am I still acting just like Jesus in every situation? Does it affect my love? Does it affect my hope? Does it affect my faith? This is what integrity is: being wholly His at all times, with all people, and that your faith is expressing itself in sacrificial self-giving for the benefit of others. That moment of fear that creeps in, or that thought of hoarding to protect yourself, those are acts. Actually, sin, anything that's not of faith, is sin. We're not expected to be sinless on this earth. And perfect, as we learned last week, means meeting the need. It means getting closer and closer to the goal. We're not expected to be without sin. But God does expect us, with every fiber of our being, to strive to have our faith in Him so that we will accomplish what He wants, which is loving others as He loves us. And that was the message that I had for this morning. Now, does anybody have anything that you want to share about that? Anything that either comes to mind, or an experience that you've gone through that might help somebody else understand it?
Well, mine's still, you know, I'm a work in progress about worry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been through that. I've always been the type of person that worries about everything. And some people serve my story, but I talked to a pastor and he asked me, says, is worry a sin? And I kind of, I don't know. Went through my mind with the commandments, this and that, you know. But he said, yeah, he said, because if you worry about anything, that you're not putting your trust in God, that God's going to provide, will get you through what you're going through. So that's what I struggle with, is when I get kind of cornered in, that I want to try to fix it myself.
Yes.
And I know I got to turn it over to God. And there's no sense in worrying about it, because what's going to happen is going to happen.
Yes.
It's what God wants us to do.
Very good. Great.
There's nothing that you can do to change it.
Mm-hmm.
I asked my mama what her New Year's resolution was. And she says, well, I want to be more humble, and I want to stop worrying. And I looked at her, and I'm like, my mama's worried. 2 years ago, she was in a coma. Okay? I mean, it's by God's grace, she's here. And I asked her, you know, how can she worry about anything? She knows why she's here.
Mm-hmm.
But then she's still flesh because she worries.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to worry.
Yes.
And, you know, we really have to get our mindset that, and look what God has done throughout our lives. Keep that in focus, to knowing that whenever time arises,
mm-hmm.
He shows up when He's needed at His time,
mm-hmm.
and there's no need for us to worry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and just, you know, like I told my mama, she needs to think of where she came from,
mm-hmm.
to where she's at now.
That's right.
And Kevin, when the next time you want to worry about something, mm-hmm. think about how God put you through the last situation that you worried before you got to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're here, you made it through that one.
Yeah.
And God will take you through the next one too.
Excellent. Excellent. Anybody else has something to share?
Actually, I was listening to Charles Stanley this morning, and that was the topic.
Oh, really?
Was about worry and anxiety. And from what I recall, he said it's okay to do that, but then you have to turn that over to the Lord and give it to Him, because if He takes care of the birds, imagine how much more He will do for you. So that it's not that, you know, when it comes up, it's not, you know, then you have the direction to turn it over.
Yes, we cannot stop what thoughts come into our minds. We can only make a decision what we will do with the thoughts that come into our mind, to take every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. That's so true. Now, what we've been talking about lately, and the most important thing, is that we abandon our demand that God fix any situation in the way we want it fixed. That brings the most despair, the most hopelessness, the most fear. God is so creative. He can do things we never, ever thought of, more than we can ever ask or imagine. And yet we say, no, 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 God, this is how I want you to do it. And if you don't fix it this way, I'm not going to be happy with you. And yet, our real goal is, underneath everything we want peace, we want joy, we want satisfaction in life. And our God is so cool and so imaginative that He can bring us joy and peace without ever giving us what we ask for.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's what His supernatural power, His grace does in our lives. But we're just like two-year-olds who go, no! You, what is it, on that little girl on YouTube?
You worry about yourself.
You worry about yourself. I don't know if you've seen that video, but the father's trying to, wants to help his daughter with her shirt or her buckle or whatever in the car. And she goes, no, I do it. You worry about yourself. You know, we want God to do it our way. Yeah. If we will abandon that and say, God, do something creative above and beyond all I've ever asked or imagined. That's when we give Him the freedom to do something so amazing. And I'll close with this. Years ago, before my blank space, Ronnie and I had about 8 years that were just horrendous. Horrendous, asking God why He was doing this when really we were the ones that were out of His will. Before that, I used to get up every day, and I was so excited to be a Christian. And this is how I looked at it. Every day was an adventure. I had no clue what was going to happen that day, who I was going to meet, who I was going to be allowed to minister to, or who was going to minister to me, but every day was an adventure. After that long, long time, I lost that. I became so depressed, I was almost like comatose. It was so bad. And I realized, I had prayed, God, the one thing I want is to get up every morning and have that same desire I had before, that excitement of believing anything is possible, and it's going to be something I don't know what it's going to be, and I'm excited about that. And just this past week, God said, remember that prayer? You've got it again, don't you? And when you have that, the fact that things don't work out the way that you want or the way that you planned cannot possibly drag you down, because it just means God is going to do something new, something I never expected. That's the kind of God I serve. And I'm so thankful that He reminded me that, and He has infused me with the eager expectation of Him to do something absolutely incredible that I could never have done myself. Why don't we pray? Father God, I thank You so much, Lord. We want to be wholly Yours. We want to have integrity. We want to believe and trust in You with everything that we have, for everything that we have. And Lord, that as we continue to deal with thoughts that come into our mind that would want to make us think you're either not good or you're not trustworthy, that we would take each thought into captivity. We would compare it to the Word of God and say, does this help me trust my Lord more, or does it make me want to run and fix something myself? And Lord, help us each time to have faith, to trust you for everything. Lord, that we will hope for the next day, and we will love and give sacrificially to everyone, regardless of who they are, no respecter of persons, knowing that you will take care of all of our needs according to your riches and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.